Okay.
Hey, we rock and roll then.
I know, look at us. All right, so this time what I'd like to do before I present our, I guess, speaker today, I want to make sure that we review our norms, listening with positive intent, respecting others' points of view, allowing others to finish speaking before, and not to interrupt, you know, cross-talking or conversation at the time, and we do not argue. We really, we abide by our meeting norms. I'm really happy about that. Our guest presenter is Chief Jaylene Chow. She is the Chief Officer of the Office of Safety and Security. She will present on whole school safety planning. Our attendee norms, for those of us who are in the audience, we keep our microphones muted during the presentation. We allow our presenter to complete the presentation. We ask that you please save questions at the end. You can also include questions in the chat, and please wait to be recognized to ask questions. So I will turn it over.
Point of order?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I voted yes to approve the minutes, and just going forward, would it be possible to include the presentations or the information that our speakers have for us? Because in the minutes, it just, from the last meeting, it just said that, you know, the presenter had showed up and what his topic was, but there was no real kind of concise overview or synopsis of what was said. So I was just going to say, going forward, if we could just add a little bit more information or just attach the presentation so that we could have a record of what was actually said.
Okay, that is not a problem. And I will make that a point for our new secretary. And if I'm still doing minutes, hopefully not after today, that we include a summary and or include the deck if there's deck. So that's
thank not, you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Mrs.
Thank you, Ms.
All right, I'm going to mute myself. Chief Chow, the floor is yours.
Welcome, Chief Chow. Got a lot of problems.
All right, I'll begin. Hi, good evening, everybody. My name is Jaylene Chow. I'm the Chief of Safety and Security. Chairman Gray, thank you so much for hosting me. It's that time of the year. For those of you who were in your spots last year, this is a really exciting time for us in the Office of Safety and Security, because it's that time of the year when we launch what's called the whole school safety planning process. I'm coming before you tonight, the Local School Council Advisory Board, as the first stop in this conversation. I do intend to also try to reach out to the chair of all the respective LSCs that are affected by this process, which I'll explain in a minute. Okay, hold on, there we go. So we're going to talk about whole school safety planning process. So if you are new to this, I'm going to give a brief history around what's going on here. So if you have been around CPS for a while, and you may recall that historically we've had Chicago police officers inside of a set number of high schools within the district. In August of 2020, our Board of Education directed our district to essentially come up with a new way to think about how we use police in schools. And so what we did was we called together a group of community-based organizations. We got a lot of feedback, and we were directed to come up with a process that would help us, and I'm not going to read it exactly, but essentially come up with an alternative system of safety for students. And it prioritized physical and SEL, social emotional well-being, as part of their safety. So it's not just the physical safety, it's really holistic. So this was the board resolution, and we came up with what we call the whole school safety process. And keep in mind, this is particularly relevant for high schools that have the school resource officer program. At this time, only 40 of our high schools still have the school resource officer program. Those are full-time uniformed police officers. The rest of our high schools have removed them. This is what the process looks like. So essentially, we asked those 40 schools to develop a whole school safety plan. It starts with developing a committee consisting on cross-functional team members. The committee includes teachers, parents, students, staff members, and administration. What they then do is they look at the safety data at their school. That includes things like misconducts, any police notifications, incidents that are serious in nature in the area, as well as quantitative information on the five essentials. And from that, they develop a plan. And the plan essentially looks at what their safety vision is for the school. Inside of that plan is the decision of whether they want to keep their school resource officers in the school. For those who may not recall, if schools vote out their SROs, they can now get, and this wasn't always the case, but they can now get the alternative funding that they can use to buy additional resources instead of the SROs. Here's the timeline. So essentially, they are now just beginning this process, April 17th, and essentially they'll develop a plan. They have until the middle of May. And then our ask is that by May 15th and May 19th, they finalize this plan and send it over to their network chief and my team for review. But then before June 2nd, we would ask them to present this plan to their local school council for a vote. So those are the key timelines. We would like all local school councils to vote on the plan. So just to get a summary, the whole school safety committee is consisting of school stakeholders. They write the plan, and then they present and recommend the plan to the local school council. So local school councils are not creating the plan. The whole school safety committees are creating the plan, and they're presenting it to the local school councils. And so here is a summary of what happened last summer. So last summer, entering into the process, we had 41 schools who were in going through it. A year before that, we had 53 schools. With the 41 schools, most of the schools kept what they had. One school removed both, and that was Dunbar. The other schools mostly kept what they had, with the exception of Carver Military and Diet, which went from 2 to 1. So essentially, you can remove both, you could remove one, or you can keep both. Those are the decisions. As I stated, you can trade in your school resource officers, and you can buy other resources. So here are some examples of what schools recommended. So on the right, you have positions. So instead of your SRO, you can buy a culture and climate coordinator. You can buy a security officer, a restorative justice coordinator, a social service assistant. We had some people buy school counselors. We had someone buy an assistant principal. In addition, on the left-hand side, you can see some of the programming that schools wanted. We had one school that went and bought office OSCL, social emotional learning program. We had somebody buy a safe passage. We had somebody buy professional development. The key here is, once you remove them, this funding is recurring. And so the intention is for the money to stay with you year after year, so the strategy can take hold. The one main point I want to make is, once you vote out your school resource officers, you cannot restore them. There's a lot of reasons for that. The biggest reasons for that, number one, is we would like to see the strategy be a representative of a commitment to your strategy. If you're going back and forth, it's hard to know that the strategy has a chance to succeed. Secondly, from a staffing standpoint, Chicago Police Department is not able to manage that. Today we got SROs, tomorrow we don't, and we come back. They're not able to manage that quickly. And so in favor of that, we're going to just, again, keep moving forward. And so we say thanks in advance for your support. So what we need from the local school council chairman that have SROs, okay, so all the other schools, like elementary schools, like SRO schools that don't have like high schools that don't have SROs anymore, you don't need to do this. But if you still have an SRO at your school, and I have the list on the previous page, and we will send out this presentation, we're asking the chairman of the local school councils to please inform us of your LSC meeting date when you plan to vote on the whole school safety plan. And we'll be sending out a Google form with this presentation. In addition, within 24 hours of your vote, we would ask you using a Google form to tell us what was the outcome of your vote. And this is so that we can put all of this information online for transparency. And that is the gist of our presentation. And I am going to, I tried to keep it as simple as possible. I'm going to come back to the meeting and open it up for questions.
Brunson here, I have a question. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't know. I took a quick look at the list that you had of all of the schools. Were those of the schools that only made decisions to remove the officers, whereas the schools that just kept officers there, you just did not have them on the list? Because I didn't see one of my schools on there. That's why. I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. These are only high schools. Let me bring the list back, if I may. When you look at the list of schools that are in place, mm-hmm. Hold on, there. Can you see that? I'm so sorry.
Yes, I can see
it. Ah, there we go. There it is. If you have a high school that used to have school resource officers and they're not on here, it means those officers are gone.
Okay, I see the school now.
The right-hand side is where we have two. If you're, with the exception of Dunbar, which removed both, in the middle column and the right-hand column, these mm-hmm. 40 schools will be going through the process again this year. Okay? They will decide, again, you can't go backwards. So if you have one SRO, you could either keep that one or you could remove that one and have zero.
It's just a matter of we're voting to redistribute the funds from SRO to maybe like a restorative justice coordinator.
Yes, yes. And you would have the option of keeping one or removing one or keeping both.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good to see you, sir.
Or hear me.
Any other questions?
Yeah, this is Mr. Jimenez. I have a question. The question is not necessarily on the topic of SROs, but the question is about the public safety about our schools in general. If there comes a point where there are patterns of incidents, whether it be inside the school or outside the school, and the schools have voted for their SROs not to be with them anymore, what sort of options do schools like that have in which there is a case where there is an increase in incidents, and how would parents and other people, students, feel safer, once they have, I think in the case of Benito Juarez, that they voted out one of their SROs, if not both. But how can we plan to address those situations?
I love that question. Thank you so much. I love all the questions. Mr. Brunson, I love your question too. But this question also is on the minds of a lot of families and schools. And the answer is, whenever there's a safety issue, whether you have SROs or not, whether you're an elementary school that never had SROs, if you are a CPS school or one of our affiliates, like a charter school or an option school, and you have a safety issue, there are a lot of things we can assist you with. And so the first step for a school, if there's a safety issue, let's pretend for a minute it's outside of the school. So it's not something happening inside of the building. If it's something happening outside of the building, for example, we have a lot of incidents of there's maybe negative activity outside. Let's say there's a shots fired. Nothing to do with a school, but it impacts the safety of our children and our staff. In a case like that, they would reach out to my team we would work with the Chicago Police Department, and we would develop a plan to help support the school while they are investigating that situation. Those things are often caused by conflicts that are happening in the community. And so we have partners at the police department, as well as through outreach community organizations, to understand what those conflicts are. If needed, while the matter is being worked on, the police department will give us special attention. That can look like, and we did this at Juarez. Juarez voted out both of their SROs. And they also said, even if we could, we wouldn't bring them back, all right? But what they did accept, which we worked on with them, was we had special attention from the police department. So every day at dismissal, we had the Chicago Police Department giving us support at dismissal and arrival. And so that's an example that we can work together without the SROs, like, being at the school. If the instances or the concerns are inside of the building, that's even, it gives us a lot more kind of things. So it's in our control. The stuff outside of the building, a little less in our control, but we still have to work on them. Inside of the building, we have to look at the root cause of what's going on. So if, for example, there's a climate issue, you've got maybe some fighting going on, some fights breaking out in the cafeteria, what's going on with that? Is there a conflict between a small set of students, or is that something that's more system-wide? And then my team can work with the Office of Social Emotional Learning to address the root causes, either through conflict resolution, restorative justice, or through training. So is there stuff that the staff can do to de-escalate situations before they become more serious? I say all that to say there's so many things we can do that are not police solutions. And that's not to say I'm not grateful for our police partners. I'm so grateful for our police partners. And there's many solutions I'll reach out to get their assistance on. But there's also many things that we can do within CPS ourselves. And so my team is available 24/7. And we encourage schools to reach out to us.
Thank you for your answer.
Any other questions?
Brunson here. Yeah, I have a, I don't know if this is a strange question or not, but let's say you're at a school where there are a number of problems with violence, and we're talking about melees and things like that. This stuff originates in the community. So I was wondering, the CPS, map gang territories and match them to student addresses in order to track possible gang affiliations?
This is Tom Gray. I was at a meeting with Superintendent Brown when he was on board, and the same thing that came up that Mr. Jimenez asked the question, could they bring those activities back into school where they have the officers? There were under no certain terms that they hesitated to say that they would not be able to bring them back in if they saw a situation that was needed. And so I'm not sure if we're on the same page of saying that they can't be returned, but under the circumstances, I think they could be returned to the school, and whatever there are, whatever there are issues, that's the way it is, because you understand that we are having a terrible time in these schools with kids now with guns and all this stuff, and just have the de-escalation outside is not going to take care of it. You have to be inside and understand the problem. So that's my understanding of what would take place if the case would escalate to that extent.
So two different things there. So two different questions.
Definitely two different questions.
Yeah, but let me just really quickly, before I get to your question, Mr. Brunson, let me address what Chairman Gray just said. So police will assist us when we need assistance. I want to be 1,000,000% clear. We have an excellent relationship with the Chicago Police Department. I meet with the superintendent's office every other week. My team meets with CPD every single morning before we start our school day. So there is a very close relationship there. And if we need assistance, we will well, we can count on their support, and they're always there for us. So I just want to alleviate anyone's concern that if there was any misinterpretation that we're not working with the police. We're working very closely with the police. The other thing is, with regards to returning police back or not, that's a CPS board decision, CPS board resolution. We are not going backwards, and we're not adding police back in. But if we need police assistance, we will seek it. And that, you know, that's every day, no matter what the problem is. If it's police, if the police will be helpful in a situation, we will not hesitate to reach out to get their assistance. Related to Mr. Brunson's question about studying gangs and what have you, we work very hard to not label students, what have you, and we focus on the problem at hand. I say that to say there is not a gang database. CPD will, I think they will tell you the same thing. There is not a gang database, and it is in our consent decree with a consent decree monitor that we're not going to tag kids with gang affiliation. That's coming from above us and sideways, and it's not helpful to our young people to look at things with that kind of a label. The other thing about gangs, as you all know, and we could have a whole subject on a whole topic on gangs. Gangs are not what they used to be. And so if you think about what they call like cliques or, you know, mini gangs, like these cliques are like block by block. And they're very fluid. And so if you, and I know you probably have seen this, if you read about them in the news, like these things change so frequently. So that's not what we're not keeping track of that. But we are keeping track of the conflicts. And so if I know that this student is in conflict with this student for whatever the reason, if they're in a different affiliation for whatever the reason, if something happened, that's what we're focused on. Because it's not practical and it's really not cool to, again, say, well, this kid's in blah, blah, blah gang, and then like everything about him is through that lens. That's really, it's so much more complicated than that. And so what we're trying to do right now is really, based on the research that we've seen, address these issues in a fashion that really takes into account the specific situation of what that young person's going through. And again, I'm just trying to be really careful to make sure that I'm not downplaying the concerns of these cliques, because I do understand that in certain situations there can be serious incidents. But I'm also trying to make sure that we are being respectful of trying to find the best solution we can to keep that young person safe as well as everyone around them. I don't know if you want to follow up with comments or questions, Mr. Brunson.
Yeah, it wasn't really is a thing of labeling people. It's just that trying to determine if there is a strong possibility of conflict on the one hand, and on the other hand, if there are a number of conflicts going on, to determine if that is possibly the source of these conflicts. Because, you know, if it's an individual thing as opposed to a crew thing, there are two different ways to approach it. So, you know, and you did answer my question. You do not keep that type of data. And you said the Chicago Police Department does not keep that data. But it is basic street knowledge. So, you know.
And let me be clear. So our biggest safety strategy is having relationships with our young people. And so our young people will tell us what's going on. And if they are in conflict with someone, if it's an individual or if it's a group of people, they will share that with us. And that is how we try to get in front of these situations so that we are not waiting for something bad to happen. So if someone's in conflict with somebody for whatever reason, that's what we're focused on. So I think we're kind of saying the same thing. And again, I'm not trying to stick my head in the sand to say that these conflicts don't exist. I'm very aware of them, and we're doing everything we can to work through them without the label.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
I have one more.
Yes.
Yes, Chair Chow, I wanted to ask a question about training and education. As a Chicago Public School teacher, I am required to take several courses under the Safe Schools series. But I think that, well, my question to you is, have you considered beyond the active shooter lockdown drill that all schools are required to have? Have you considered training courses, whether it be to staff or to specifically students, on how to handle either in-school fights or violence or any other risk that we see on a regular basis or that some schools see more than others, as a way to, you know, guard against these patterns that happen? And so do you foresee any training, whether it be the staff or the students, on some of the reoccurring public safety concerns that CPS has?
Thank you so much for that question as well. It's all about being proactive, right? Full disclosure, I am not Safe Schools platform, even though it's called Safe Schools. I get emails all the time from people that question on their videos. I'm like, it just happened to be called Safe Schools. But I think your point is well taken, which is we do have the active shooter training on the Safe Schools platform, which it sounds like you have observed, which thank you for that. One of the things that is very important to us is that we go upstream from that. And so I'll start with the security officers. And so we have a very thorough security officer training that seeks to do several things. Number one, train our security officers how to build relationships with our students. So if you can build relationships with your students, like I was just talking about a second ago with Mr. Brunson's questions, now I know what's going on with you, okay? So if we have a relationship and you're in a conflict, the goal would be that you trust me, you can tell me what's going on so we can get in front of that. That's one thing we train on. And we would love it if every student in our school has at least one trusted adult that they can go to. That would be really helpful. The other thing that the security officers get trained on is the de-escalation. And so they get trained to look for situations that look like they might be brewing. And so, you know, I was at school the other day. It was a young man and a young woman. They were just playing, okay? And they're like, you know, goofing off. Well, it's only funny till it's not funny, right? Until somebody gets it. So I'm trained to look for this. And, you know, so I actually demonstrated to somebody, this is how you intervene on that. Our security officers are trained to intervene on that. And then finally, if all of those things, then for whatever reason, either they get missed or what have you, we don't want them to be missed. But if what have you, it does escalate into something like a fight, let's say, they are trained to do that intervention, to get in the middle of that, either from verbal commands or physical intervention. Okay, so how do you respond safely so that you are using the appropriate level of physical intervention? So that's what the security officers are trained for. So that hopefully will help get in front of serious incidents. The other thing about this, and you were talking about other people like staff, the goal would be to train them on the safety care as well. That's what we call a safety care. So you may get an invitation to join in the teacher version of safety care, which is speaking to the same things except from a teacher's lens, not security officer lens. As far as the students are concerned, we would love to take what is happening with relation to like student voice committees and bring these very serious conversations into their world. I don't want to scare anybody, but students see a lot of what's going on every day. They're on social media. They know who are in the classes. They know these things. And so we want to make sure that they know how to look for the signs so that they can, you know, ideally tell their trusted adult if they see something suspicious. We work with Sandy Hook Promise. You remember Sandy Hook, unfortunately. So I work very closely with the Sandy Hook parents. And they started a training for students, right along the line you're talking about, and it's grade appropriate. So it's from the elementary kids, I got a high school version. And one of the programs that we were really trying to promote, and it's still available for anybody who wants more on this, is a program called It Starts With Hello. Okay, how do we instill kindness into each other so that we can try to mitigate these problems? Again, not to sound too Pollyannish about it, but it really is that. When you look at the active shooter situations around the country, and you look at how so many of them have a pattern of an individual who was either kicked out of school, they were expelled, or they just stopped going because they didn't feel like they belonged, they were isolated. That is a lot of what we're seeing. And we can't prevent everything. Like, we can't predict everything is what I mean to say. It's our goal to prevent everything by looking for those signs. And so Know the Signs is another training that Sandy Hook team has. So these are all things that we aim to do. Longer answer than you probably wanted, but we're thinking about this all the time. And, you know, it's really, we work with the social emotional learning department to get these things in front of schools. There's only so many hours in a day, but these things are available for people if they're interested.
I really appreciate your answer. I'm glad we have you at the helm. And one thing I'd like to see minimize is so many students recording the acts, the violence, the fights. It seems to be something very popular to do, and I would hope we could minimize that. But I really appreciate your answers, and I'm glad we have you at the helm. Thanks.
I appreciate that. And one last thing, you didn't ask it, but you kind of inferred it with your response to my response. Like, this whole thing about responsible social media and responsible digital use, we got an answer for that too. And we're piloting some things with schools that I'm really excited about. And I think that it's really about like a social maturity, right? Like, if you really understand what you're doing when you're recording a fight, how harmful that is, you wouldn't do it. And so, like, that's the kind of stuff that we're trying to instill in our young people and our adults as well, let me just say. So, it's all of the above. But thank you so much for all those thoughtful questions. And I would love to sit down with you at your school one day, because I clearly you think about this a lot. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief Chow. You are amazing. And we are lucky to have you with our district. Thank you for being here tonight. All right.
Director Ford, for your report.
All right, thank you so much. Let me get my deck up. Give me one second. My report is pretty short. Okay, I'm going to share my screen and share. Okay, can everybody see my screen?
Okay. Yes.
All right, so our agenda for today, some election updates, certification, external partnership engagement updates, a few district updates, and then LSE member general reminders. We have, related to our student elections, we've extended our election period through the end of this month. So if you are at a school that has not conducted a student election for the term that begins July 1st, 2023, school administrators can host those elections through the end of the month. As you know, students only serve a one-year term, so we need to identify those members, student members that will serve on our LSEs for next year. If there are any questions, Marcus Pittman is our lead for the student election process. LSEAB elections, we sent out a note last week to extend the voting period for LSEAB. So those ballots can be submitted to schools. You're going to go to your school and vote on Wednesday this week. So if you have not already voted, please see the principal and or their clerk designee, get your ballot and vote for a representative to represent you in your region for the LSEAB.
Brunson here, can I ask a question on that?
Okay, let me finish. This and then let me finish. Awesome. All right, thanks. Next item, we are currently in the second cycle of our certification process, where we are working to with our partners to get them certified, to get them trained up to assist our department in training LSE members across the district. We currently have seven people that are currently going through the process. LSEAB board member Brunson is with us this past weekend. during our certification workshop. We are having a third cycle for the school year. Our orientation will be on May 18th. It'll be virtual. If you have anyone that's interested in being trained up to be certified, they can come to this orientation meeting and get more information. We're asking that all the modules be completed. I need to change that to midnight. By June 2nd, 11:59. And from there, we'll have two workshops on June 6th and June 8th at our offices. So we'll send out a blast with this information. If you know anyone that's interested in being a trainer, we'd love to have you. So if you enjoy training and meeting new people, we encourage you to get certified with us. I guess I did two slides. District updates. As a reminder, the Chicago Board of Education, they select a honorary student board member. Those applications are now open and are being accepted through April 28th. If you'd like more information on the application process, eligibility requirements, visit the Chicago Board of Education website. Also, the district is hosting 5 virtual meetings to share and engage with the community to discuss their capital priorities. The capital plan is going to be shared, and it's a part of the district's overall budget. The 5 dates are listed: April 18th, what is tomorrow, English and Spanish; April 19th, April 21st, and April 21st. Participants can register, or you can tune in to the live streaming of the presentation. The last bit of information is around just general LSC member updates and reminders. So for the month of May, as a reminder, the governor's disaster order, our declaration, ends May 11th. So May 12th and moving forward, all LSC meetings must move back to in-person. This includes LSCAB. So I'm excited to see you all at the next LSCAB meeting for May. And those of you in the audience that would like to join us, our LSCAB meeting will be held at the Garfield Park office at 2651 West Washington. The next meeting is May the 15th. And as a just additional reminder, just encouraging councils, if you have vacancies, fill them. Because guess what? We'll be voting on budgets. Guess what? If you have a school resource officer. So you want to make sure you have your vacancies filled so that you can take care of that important business. And that's it as far as my report. And so now at this time, questions. So Mr. Brunson, you had a question for me.
Yeah, I was just wanted to make sure the details of the LSCAB election. The packets don't get turned in until 4/19. I mean, it's not like they can turn the packets in early. So and I'm saying that because I was out of commission for quite a while, so I didn't get a chance to vote somewhere.
So for those, if you haven't had an opportunity to vote, check with your school to see if those those ballots are still there when you can't vote.
Okay. All right.
Any other questions for me?
I have a question, Director. It has to do with the principal evaluation system. Is it okay if I ask it here, or would you like to? I can do it offline if you want. I just was wondering, maybe it would help the rest of the members that are in maybe a similar position.
No, that's fine. This is a good time.
So my question is just around gathering information, feedback, and evidence in order to make the principal evaluation process. Mm-hmm. Couple of follow-up questions on that particular topic is it okay to have surveys, and do they need to be okayed by the law department? How long does that usually take? That's one of my questions. So if our school was interested in having a staff survey, you know, does that need to be okay? How long does it take? The other question, which is similar, is we already have an anonymous feedback teacher form and staff form. And what people like about it is that, you know, your name doesn't kind of get recorded on the email. Is that okay to use as a way to collecting feedback? And then my last question is the process looks like it has a deadline of May 1st. It also has a deadline of June.
May 31st.
Yeah, for, you know, for any feedback to the specific principal. Is there some flexibility just in case we take a little bit longer, or are those pretty hard deadlines, especially the first one? So those were my three questions.
Okay. So the first question was about surveys. Any survey that the LSC commissions, they have to be approved by the law department. So the contact in the law department that reviews surveys, her name is Alexa Bilal. Her turnaround time is pretty good. I think it's about 4 to 5 business days. So if you email her the surveys, and then you can also ask her the question, say, this is what my timeline is, can you meet it? But it's about average 5 business days.
Is there a particular contact there that people could use, or just like a general?
Alex Bilal, that's her name. Alex Bilal. I can put her, I have to look up her email.
But that's okay.
If you call a law department and say Alex Bilal, she's in the school law department, the school law unit, she's our contact for survey.
Okay. Thank you.
Related to anonymous feedback, anonymous feedback form, I don't know, I would need more information about that particular form. It's more formalized if you do it by a survey. Because I don't know, that separate form may not be appropriate, because I don't know what type of information it collects. So without having a lot of information, just from what you shared, it probably wouldn't be. But I would talk to the attorney, Alexa Blau, and she can give you more information about if that would be appropriate or not. The second question was related to the timeline. So first, is the time set forth where council should complete the evaluation process, and then there's this 30-day window that the principal can seek feedback. And that feedback should be considered within that window, and it finalized after feedback by the 31st. So in the event that you say you want to meet the target deadline as best possible, I'll just leave it there. But then also, you know, you have that 30-day window between the 1st and the 30th to give that principal an opportunity for a feedback session and to finalize it.
Got it. Thank you so much for your answers. Very helpful.
Are there any other questions for the director's report?
Okay.
Hearing none. Okay. Mr. Brunson, you...
Mr. Gable.
Brunson here, yeah?
Yes, you're on deck for the F.
I'm on, okay. You know, you might, some of you may know that I have a keen interest in making sure that all of the local school council members are receiving their training as required by law. And I just wanted to bring something up this time on that tip. I'm one of the schools that I'm at, the principal at the school keeps a list of, first of all, she's done all of the trainings, and she keeps a list of everyone that's on the local school council, what training they've done, what trainings they need, and periodically she contacts us to let us know, hey, how you doing, and gives us that encouragement. And I just wanted to share that, because maybe the Office of Local School Council Relations might want to promote that as a best practice among the principals to make sure that number one, they themselves get trained, and number two, that they do try to encourage all of the members of their local school council to actually do the training and, you know, let them know that, hey, we're here to support you, but on the other hand, we know you're not doing your training. So I just thought I'd share that, and I'm hoping that the Office of Local School Council will take that under consideration and promote that as a best practice among other principals.
Okay, thank you so much, Member Brunson. I appreciate hearing like good news of, like that. Would you mind sharing with principal?
I would love to. She's a wonderful principal. Yeah, I'll let you know.
What's her name, good principal? What school?
She's at Foster Park.
Okay, so we can actually, we can put that in our next newsletter, shout her out in that council. Has all of the council, have every member of that council also completed training as well?
Practically everyone, but the report that she shared showed me, as a matter of fact, as not having done all of my training, when I know I've done all of my training. So I was going to ask if there is some glitch in the system that did not record every training that I've done. So I even went in, as a matter of fact, and the ones that she showed me missing, I just went and did them again anyway. But that's something I'll talk to y'all about later.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you. I appreciate that. And that's something that we can definitely do. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. All right. So the next item is public participation. Chair Gray.
Okay, public participation. Everybody don't come on all at once. One by one.
If you could just raise your hand and I can unmute you if you have a comment. If anyone from the public has a comment, raise your hand. I can unmute you and you can be recognized by the chair.
Hearing none, Dr. Rice, are you going to participate?
You're going to make Dr. Rice make a comment. Dr. Rice is muted.
I will say that I have enjoyed tonight's discussion, very thoughtful. The presentation by Chief Chow was wonderful, and the members' questions were right on target.
Thank you very much.
Moving on to old business, the agenda item is related to filling a vacancy as secretary on LSCAB. Put me out of a job, and I got three jobs now, director, LSCAB secretary, and mom. If there's an LSCAB member that would like to take the helm of being the secretary, at this point, it'll just be me to the end of the year, so no worries.
So don't everybody volunteer at once.
It's okay. I'll be the secretary, temporary secretary to the end of this
today.
All right.
No one is stepping in for you today, right?
I know I'm doing such a great job. They don't want it. Okay. The next item is new business, and it's related to the June meeting.
I would like to for somebody to make a. Well, I would like to vote that June meeting be suspended.
I second it.
Can we just have discussion on that?
Yep. Yes. Discussion is next. Yep.
Okay, open for discussion.
If I could be recognized.
Yes, you're recognized, Mr. Menace.
I think it's worth considering canceling our June meeting. The only concern I have is the June meeting is where we typically prepare for anything that might be upcoming in which we would like to address that is pressing over the summer. I don't see anything at the moment, but should something arise, I just feel as if we could have a better a notion of we're, if we're going to need that June meeting at the May in-person meeting. So my alternative would be if we could table that motion until we meet in person and then decide at the May meeting. So okay, it is April so right now, and so and I still think we have a little bit
Mr. Mez, it is it's kind of imperative that the June meeting, you know, don't take place. But we can discuss all of that at the May meeting, okay?
I have a hand raised.
Yes.
Can I counter that? Because that's what we have special meetings if we need it. So if we decide we need it, we can set up a special meeting toward the end of May or even beginning of June.
Right. So that's why the dates are there. So if you could withdraw your addendum to the motion, I would appreciate it.
Are you speaking to me, Chair?
Yes. I was saying it is imperative that we do that. And if you could withdraw your addendum to the motion that I made.
Chair Gray, you made the motion. So it's your decision whether you want to append its amendment to yours or not.
No, but I was just asking him if he would withdraw his motion to the amendment. I mean, to the motion.
Under the understanding that we'll decide in May, yes.
Yes, okay, that's good.
Yes, sir.
All right. Everybody in favor, all in favor, signify by the sign of aye. The June meeting will be canceled.
I need to do a roll call vote for that. Chair Gray?
Here.
Mr. Sanchez?
Yes.
Mr. Brunson? Oh, Mr. Brunson. Let me unmute.
Sorry, I was muted. Sure, yeah.
Mrs. Costopoulos?
Yeah.
Ms. Davis?
Yes.
And thank you for joining. I wrote down when you got in, so thank you.
Yeah, I was on some other Zoom link. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Flores?
And just for clarification, this is to what?
This is to cancel
the June meeting
in May at the next meeting. We'll revisit if we need to do a special meeting. Potentially, that would have to go on the agenda for potentially discussion for a special meeting if needed.
Okay. And we talked about if need be, we can bring that back up on the May meeting, right?
Right.
Okay, I approve.
All right, Mr. Jimenez?
Yes, so if the understanding is that we'll revisit it in May, I'm a yes.
Yes, you...
I can add it to the agenda.
Yes, thank you.
But right now we're voting to cancel it for now.
I'm a yes on that. Okay. We have an understanding. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Cadan is not here. Mr. Ramirez is not here. Okay, so we have...
Ramirez is here. Ms. Ford, sorry about that.
Ramirez is here?
Yes, thank you.
What's happening here?
I also joined a little late. I was trying to get on to the other Zoom. But yeah, I'm here, and that's a yes.
Okay, thank you so much. Do you remember what time you got here? Because I don't have that
time. About 8 or 9 minutes after the meeting started.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Thank you so much. I've noted you as being present. Okay. Thank you. All right. So that motion carries. The last agenda item is a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Next meeting is May 15th.
In person.
And next
Brunson here. Where are we meeting at?
At the Garfield Park office, 2651 West Washington Boulevard.
I think I know where that is. Okay.
That's where you were Saturday.
I know.
Okay,
I will entertain a motion for the meeting.
What time?
6 o'clock.
Okay.
Is there a motion for a meeting to adjourn?
I'm not so moved.
Okay, it's been
Who was the motion? Was Brunson? Who seconded
Brunson.
It?
Brunson moved it.
And who seconded?
Sanchez.
Sanchez, thank you. Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Sanchez?
Yes.
Mr. Brunson?
Yes.
Ms. Konstantopoulos? Turn. Thank you. Ms. Davis?
Yes.
Mr. Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Jimenez?
Yes.
Mr. Ramirez?
Yes.
All right, awesome. Motion carries. The end time is 7:03. Have a lovely evening. I will see you all in person and give you big hugs on May 15th. Be there on time.
Okay.
All right, good night, guys.
Have a wonderful week.
Bye, all.
Travel safe.